Good afternoon and welcome back to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're back in the studio and still discussing Joshua. Joshua 5 has a lot of meat in it.
It does.
And so last time we talked about, last time we talked about blessings of obedience and how we love to be blessed. But then there's also that disobedience, you know, with the pain, the vulnerability, and how we need to be transparent with our pain and vulnerability and how we need to wait on the Lord. You know, let him move us through this pain. And Tanya made a good thing about the flint knife. Go ahead, Tanya.
I had shared with the ladies on the break. I was thinking, oh, wow. Okay, so when I'm going through a time when God's really kind of purging and revealing much, I'll just pray, oh, Lord, this is your flint knife, isn't it?
So we thought we should all have a flint knife to look at every day and remember.
It's a good reminder. And just remember, he's matter of fact about it. He's not condemning. Nope. God does not condemn. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember one time, Tanya, it was you that God did like a spiritual moment with me, and I can't even remember when, where, or how, but some teaching time when we were together, and your prayer is that there would be no condemnation when the teaching was taking place. I have never let that go, and that's one of my common prayers now. I pray when I teach, when I have a speaking engagement, or even like for the radio, that there be no condemnation, because he is matter of fact. You know, he does not condemn. And so when somebody is listening, because our hearts can be where it's not condemning as we're teaching it, but a perception of when I'm in sin and I'm hearing something, I can receive something differently than what it's actually being spoken. And so praying into the circumstances so that condemnation not take place, because that's not how God works. You know, he reveals the sin so that we can get purified, so we can move towards what he sees us to be in Christ. And so I don't know if I've ever told you that.
No, you haven't.
But so that was one of my flint knives. You know, how God gives us those moments where we have them. Okay, so here's the big question I want us to talk about. We have the nation of Israel. They've obeyed. But it gives us a little background check and says, you know what? Some of them did not get to go into the land of milk and honey. They died away because they were disobedient. And I just wanted to reflect on disobedience, what disobedience might, some of the outcomes of disobedience. And the first thing I just wanted to bring up, I have three things, three words that I found were key. And I have found them to be true in my life. I find them to be true in this passage. And I have found them to be true as I watch disobedience. So whether it's me or somebody else or seeing it in Scripture, I have found my disobedience is a reflection of spiritual decay. Okay, if I am spirit born of Christ, a believer with the Holy Spirit in me, if I'm in disobedience, spiritual decay is taking place. If I'm in disobedience, I have found a level of indifference to that which is of God.
Oh, that is interesting.
And if I'm in disobedience, it can also be because of ignorance, spiritual ignorance of not knowing and understanding. I need to determine, one, which it is as I'm looking into the circumstances. Is it because I'm ignorant of what the Bible says, or is the individual ignorant? Because it could be somebody just did not know yet. Well, if I do know, it's spiritual indifference. And if it's spiritual indifference, I'm guaranteed spiritual decay is going to occur. Do you see the progression? And I mean, it's crazy, but when I'm in circumstances and I'm evaluating my heart, and not in the spirit of judgment of somebody, but trying to help somebody become the true disciple they're called to be in Christ, I have to determine as a leader, is it ignorance? If it's not an ignorance, they know the word, then is it indifference? Or have they gone to the point where they're already in decay? And I need to go in and rescue them from where they're at, or, you know, God willing, somebody will rescue me, Lord, you know, send somebody that I never get to that point. But do you see what I'm saying? To guard ourselves from these happening in our lives, because whenever disobedience occurs with the Lord, these are guaranteed to happen. And now granted, ignorance, if we know the word of God, that's not, We have no excuse there. Mm-hmm. But indifference and then leading to decay as a growing leader, that's harder. And it's harder when somebody, when you see the spiritual decay because somebody's become indifferent to what they know to be truth.
Yeah.
Than somebody who is ignorant and hasn't heard it yet, right, because they haven't had that revelation.
Right.
It's a lot harder,
yeah,
to deal with. And so I want us to be thinking about that, because here it is that it could possibly be they have not properly taught the children and they're ignorant that they needed to be circumcised. It could be.
Mm-hmm. But because it may not have been taught to them,
right,
by the disobedient
fathers.
Generation, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So it very well could be that it's an issue of ignorance. It could be that it's an issue of indifference and that they're in wanderings and they're not settled in and they haven't, you know, they're wandering. Right. They don't know what I'm
imagine
doing.
Imagine the wandering.
Right, sure.
So it could be that it's indifference, but it could also be that the nation has just gotten so spiritually decayed in their walk that they're not, okay? I believe that with the fathers that died, it was the spiritual decay. Mm-hmm. It was their disobedience that caused them to be removed. That's why God comes in and he says, okay, this is what needs to happen in order to make the cleansing to occur, to set you apart. We have to ask ourselves this. I think of David when it says, Lord, help me to number my days. Mm-hmm. Really to evaluate ourselves, and or this passage of scripture that says, test your salvation. Examine it, mm-hmm, you know, so that you can see how you are walking in faith. We should daily be doing, mm-hmm, these spiritual checks. You know, God, am I walking in ignorance or indifference? Do you see any spiritual decay in me? Because I don't. I want to be spirit growing. Mm-hmm. I want the fruit of righteousness growing inside me. So, Tanya, you have something on that?
Oh, yeah, this is a constant, right?
Yeah, don't you think moment by moment, day by day.
Mm-hmm, for the rest of our walk in the Lord, until he takes us home.
Yeah.
And because he tells us in Romans 8, he's desiring that we would be conformed to the image of Christ, mm-hmm, right?
Right.
So if that's her goal, I know I got a lot more to go.
Yeah.
So I've shared this before, but when you're in your daily reading, in your Bible study, in church at or listening to maybe a podcast or something, I always ask the Spirit, God, fill me, show me what you desire me to learn, mm-hmm, reveal to me what needs to be changed.
Mm.
And I know, because of the promise in Ephesians, that he will give me the power, mm-hmm,
the wisdom
through his Spirit, mm-hmm, to walk in his will and make the choice for obedience.
Yes.
Even though it can hurt, he'll give me the strength to do it.
Yeah. And you know, Tanya, by your saying, if you're reading your Bible or listening to a podcast or in worship, I can't remember.
Church.
Mm-hmm. You're saying, God, I recognize because your word is being revealed. Mm-hmm. I'm standing on holy ground. I'm taking my sandals off, mm-hmm, that I might truly honor that which is sacred,
right,
to receive what you have given me. Because a person who is spirit-led, spirit-minded, mm-hmm, will always recognize to keep that which is sacred, sacred. Mm-hmm. So when they are in the presence of the Word of God, it isn't an issue of, well, I don't like that preacher because that preacher isn't teaching the way I want, or I don't like blah, blah. You know, it's not that's not happening. It's, I'm ready to receive. If your word is being spoken, there's, mm-hmm, something there's here something for me to hear, because right, scripture says the word will not return void. It doesn't say the word will not return void only if it's a good speaker.
Or somebody I like. Or,
right.
Or even in worship too, if it's
right, my style. Or
right. Yeah. Right. Mm. But God desires us to be connected with him, circumcised right, with his heart, mm-hmm, so that really now we become worshipful as a lifestyle, mm-hmm, and we live that way so that it's like it's moment by moment,
yeah, mm-hmm,
and we're desiring, okay, so we're ready for whatever comes, mm-hmm, in,
even like in our tests or trials or whatever you want to call them, when we're going through things, you know, that's when we need to stop and say, all right, what am I supposed to learn from this, or is it me I'm learning, or is it the person that maybe is
in
with
front of me, yeah,
you know, during this, or, mm-hmm, you never know if it's you or them, or but you still need to ask.
Right. And what by asking, you're saying, I don't want to be ignorant.
Right.
Okay. That, yeah, is removing the spirit of indifference.
And I don't want spiritual decay to happen.
Right. You know, and so that is a heart that is praying towards surrender, which right. Tanya talked about, I think, yes, like on did. Week two. Yeah. Okay. And so
prayer, surrender,
asking
obedience.
Ourselves to have those in us so that we can move forward in what he's called in us. In Romans 4, if we could open that up. Sandy, get in your Bible, Romans 4, and I want you to read for us 4:9-12. And this describes for us the circumcision of what it might look like for a believer. And as we are examining this, we're going to see that it's a movement towards righteousness. Okay. It's that movement toward God. Remember, we talked about in the first week, the movement toward God moves us towards righteousness, which moves us towards inheriting what he's given us. This passage explains that to us, Romans 4:9-12.
Right. In this blessedness only for the circumcised, or also for the uncircumcised, we have been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So then, he is the father of all who believe but have not been circumcised, in order that righteousness might be credited to him. And he is also the father of the circumcised, who not only are circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised.
I love it. This is such a rich passage. Okay, what I want us to see is that it's that intentional choice Sandy was talking about. Mm-hmm. It is the intentional choice of moving towards Christ. But what we have to see is that promise was there before the actual circumcision took place. Mm-hmm. The inheritance has been made known. And so the gift of what God has in blessing is already there. Mm-hmm. The circumcision of believing in Jesus for us as believers in Christ, that's our obedience. Mm-hmm. That's our moving toward. That's our choice intentionally. I am going to choose to move towards Jesus. Mm-hmm. I am going to choose to move towards the Holy One. He is what I want in me. And so having that heart of movement is what enables me to see his change take place. That's right. Where the surrender is. Mm-hmm. That's where, okay, so God says, you know, take up the flint knives and circumcise Israel. And then scripture says, so Joshua took knives and circumcised Israel. I mean, it's just a matter of that simple so. Mm-hmm. What does
those
my
little
so,
words
my
in the
so
Bible.
Look
if
like?
So.
You know, sowing into me righteousness. Mm-hmm. And so asking myself as I'm moving forward daily, how am I sowing in his holiness? How am I sowing in the sacred? How am I making sure I'm not ignorant? How am I growing in that? Now, initially as a new believer in Christ, that may look like as an infant, somebody else telling me what to do. Somebody else telling me how to hear the Bible or read the Bible. Somebody else telling me how to move forward in obedience, because an infant can't do it for themselves. Well, once I become a child, I move up. I'm no longer an infant. I can read my Bible. Mm-hmm. I can hear it, but I still need guidance because I still don't have a full grasp of all the truths I need. Well, the next step would be is then moving into an adult. And as an adult, I see I'm called to serve. I'm called to move forward, to give it to other people. But it's not until I'm able to bring somebody along in such a way that they're moving forward, that I become a spiritual parent. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, mm-hmm. that's our goal. Jesus said, go make disciples mm-hmm. of all nations. Our obedience is what's moving us towards that level of spiritual maturity. And that's what we want to have in us. Mm-hmm. And so that allowing that to happen and take place so that I'm moving towards the ownership of what I have inherited.
Right.
But not just myself. Joshua didn't just circumcise
his son or himself.
Him. Right. Yeah. Well, he would assume was already done.
Right.
But you're
mm-hmm.
right. I'm sorry. I should take a pause there. Mm-hmm. But he made sure the whole nation was.
Mm-hmm. Right. Bringing them with them.
I'm going to mm-hmm. take along everybody that I can.
Mm-hmm.
Every single male.
Right. Well, it's a great command, you know. Disciple everybody, all people,
I love
everywhere.
It's yeah. huge.
Yeah.
It's huge.
And as sacrificial as it is, you know, raising disciples, I think if you even look how Christ did it, he had the big groups that would mm-hmm. listen. He had his inner 12, right? And then an even tighter three,
mm-hmm. and then the one beloved.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's right.
So if we, I think I look that way often, and being a mom with young kids, you have to assess your time, etc. I mean, I'm raising disciples right there in our home, mm-hmm. for sure. But just praying and asking God to bring me the people that are ready, mm-hmm. ready to be completely poured into and do life with, so they can really be raised up. And it's so sweet, but it is a sacrifice, but it's really sweet.
We touch a lot of lives that we're not even aware of it, you know, until they either say something. I had an email from a neighbor that she had joined our fellowship group and had never been in a Bible study.
Huh.
And she wrote me the nicest encouraging note about leaving and moving out of the neighborhood, but that she thanked me for having her there because she didn't realize how important it was to study the Bible. And now she's doing BSF.
That's awesome.
And enjoying it so much.
Wow.
I mean, it gives me the goosebumps.
Oh.
I mean, sweet lady, but just, you know, just knowing.
Because you went out of your way to invite.
Yeah,
sure, just, absolutely.
And that's so important to invite people.
It is, and it is, but it's an intentional choice towards obedience. Because when I walk in obedience, when Joshua walked in obedience, the nation was changed.
Mm-hmm.
And so we cannot lose sight that our obedience has a ripple effect.
Mm-hmm.
It impacts those around us. It impacts those that we influence. It impacts those that are the closest and those that it might ripple out to. And my daughter recently was sharing with me, and I was seeing some of that obedient ripple, and that she was just in a circumstance where she was sitting around with a bunch of girls, and it was her ballet crew. And so praise God for those hour moments in between classes that she can't leave because there's not enough time. They go into the spiritual. And it's not because she's going in and saying, hey, I'm going to give them Jesus. I got news for you. She's a 16-year-old. But because she is trying to walk in obedience, they're asking her questions, and she's able to ask them questions. And they're having some really deep dialogue about spiritual truths.
Don't you love that? Yeah.
Because our obedience will be seen by those around us.
Yes.
And those around us, when they see that, as in the case of Joshua, it doesn't say the nation railed against him and said, no way. It says Joshua got the flint knives and the nation was circumcised.
Mm-hmm.
It was immediate. Intentional obedience affects those around us because it reveals the movement of God in us.
I like that.
Moving towards God, moving towards righteousness, moving towards his inheritance is evident to those who watch. And they can't help but want to join in the movement, even though they may not understand.
Right.
It Absolutely. Guards against the ignorance, indifference, and spiritual decay. God bless. Thank you for listening to Cultivating Hearts.